Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody. It's Anissa.
And it's Ellen.
And it's Anissa and Ellen Raw.
This podcast is not about Anissa and I coming on here and talking about, oh, woe is me, and this is my life, and this is what we did last week, and this is what I ate. And we talk a lot about things from our perspectives, but there are topics and things that we hope will speak to women of our age going through the same things. We're not here to give advice. This podcast is to bring other people and their perspective and their stories and their expertise to everybody out there.
Everybody has a story to tell. We're all storytellers, but being able to show up in your truth without being judged
exactly
is what we're about.
Up now, Millennials Part 2.
So let's just talk about this dating thing. And since you guys have had boyfriends for a while, I'm fascinated, y'all. That's because, you know, I've been married for like 1,000 years.
Literally 1,000. Social media plays into it. Lots of people meet each other through whatever that stuff. I mean, my oldest daughter, they met on Match. She and her husband, or actually the dogs got them together, but whatever. But
that's
just
weird.
I know.
That's why most men get dogs.
Yes. Sometimes.
That's normally their picture on any dating site is with a
meet women.
Wow.
Like what? So for
spoiler alert.
For us more, because how old were you when you got married?
I was 21.
Okay. And see, when I got married the first time, I was 20. So you have to understand that it was so different. When we were growing up, like there was an expectation that you would, as a woman, you would go to college, and then after that, the next step was, you know, you might find a career or whatever, but it was never find a career, become your own person, then maybe you get married, then maybe you have kids, or even there was not even the thought form that that was not the path that you would take.
Right.
And then there were some outliers, right? There were some people who didn't, but so I'm fascinated by this whole dating and your ideas of where marriage falls into that, and if you even want to, or I don't know. It's just interesting to me.
So let's just start with Herlaine because she's just busting at the seams.
No, I'm not.
No, and I need to hear this. Okay, I need to hear this. So Herlaine, tell us about your dating. I mean, like, is it hard? We had an episode of dating at our age.
Oh my gosh.
I cannot imagine dating at y'all's age. Like, seriously.
It's horrible.
I'd be so afraid.
I would just be at home all day long.
Non-existent. It's interesting to hear, like, how old you guys were when you got married because I think about me at 21. Married to anyone?
No.
That's crazy. But it's funny because sometimes when women who were not single at like 25, 27, and they try to give you like dating advice or like being single, I'm like, sis, thank you so much.
Thanks, hon.
However, at this big age, having been single this long, I don't quite think you understand, you know? But dating is good. I mean, it's fun. You know, you just go out, you meet different people. Ellen has this camera in my face. I'm joking. No, you go out, you meet different people. You get to really experience what you like and what you don't like in men. But really too, it's an internal, it's a reflective process. So you get to see how you are in a relationship and what you value and what you don't value and who you are as a person and who, you know, you're not.
That is fascinating.
Isn't it fascinating?
My focus was always never about myself. That is so fascinating.
Yeah.
Really?
But I think a shift happens afterwards because it used to just all be about the guy, for me at least. I was like, okay, well, like, this is this guy. I really like him. So let me make sure that I am what he wants.
Oh.
You know what I mean? But having gone through, you know, you've been in a couple relationships, I'm just like, no, I'm going to be who I am. And if he likes that, then we can make this work. If not, it's fine. I understand in life, I'm not everybody's cup of tea. You know, I'm not everybody's queen, and that's okay. Because not everybody is my king, you know? And it's quite all right.
It was, get it, girl. So, okay, so Emily, with the kids, I mean, you kind of touched on it. I mean, it's been, you know, I mean, you've got to, it's just not you.
Yeah.
You know?
It's hard. I don't enjoy it as much as you do, apparently. the first year after we separated, I mean, I was not ready for that. You know, when we were together 6 years, and when we had kids, like for me, I was, you know, ready to settle down. And so having to go back into the dating game was, I was never in the dating game before. Like we just happened to meet and things worked out, but I was not, that's not what I'm good at. I'm not very much a social butterfly in that sense. And when you have, you know, a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old, even having the energy is hard enough. But, and I think the biggest struggle was I definitely had like self-esteem issues at the time, just going through a separation and just life changing and things like that. So the idea of like dating apps where you're judging everyone's pictures and deciding if they're, you know, going to be a swipe right or swipe left. Like, it's just like, I hated everything about that. Like, yeah. I didn't want to feel like they were judging me on my pictures. And if they didn't choose me, it was because I wasn't good enough. I mean, even finding pictures of myself was nearly impossible because I only had ones with kids. And then you add in a layer of, okay, is he going to be good enough for me? Okay, that's, you know, hard enough. But then is he going to be good for my kids? Like, that's, yeah. you know, in your mind, you're like, no one's good enough. And then you're also just having to think about, like, taking them through that ringer, too. It's hard. And I went on a few dates last year, and very nice people, but there just wasn't, like, that connection. And I think part of it was, like, I built such a wall up mm-hmm. after my ex and I separated, just protecting myself, that right. I feel like it was very difficult to let someone in and feel like I was receptive to that. And just even giving myself the attention that like, this is, I'm allowed to have this time for myself. But even the first year, I mean, I probably only had 4 nights that I didn't have the kids at all. And the last thing I wanted to do was go outside. I really just wanted to like, not be responsible for any other human
yeah.
beings.
Yeah.
And even now, you know, I don't have them on Thursday nights, which is not really like the time to go out because you still have work the next day. And, you know, every other Saturday night. And it's hard. I try to find time just to like see my girlfriends or things like that. But it's, you know, most of my friends, they're all like married. They're all married. And so, you know, they don't want to like go out in the town. Like that's yeah. the last thing they want to do. And, you know, places that I used to go out with probably have like 19-year-olds, and that's not really my scene either. So right. And the online dating is just tough because you're just like, you're questioning like, is this really them? Or if they have kids, like, did they leave a relationship the same way that like my separation went through? Like, were they looking for greener grass? Do they want responsibility? Do they want kids? Like, it's just a lot to take in, and you don't want to really feel like you're just like interrogating someone being like, so how do you feel about a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old? How's that sound yeah. for you? You know, you don't even really just get the authentic time to meet someone and see if there's chemistry there because you're like constantly nervous that like the kids won't like them or this won't. Like it's difficult. So
difficult.
I'm trying to put myself out there, but it's just not, it's tough to be comfortable in that space when it feels kind of like social media in the sense that you're like trying to sell yourself,
mm-hmm.
which is hard. And then there's just like the trust factor of like, is this even who they are?
Right. Exactly.
Here's the address. If you don't find me in 2 hours, start here. You know, like yeah. it's just, it's hard. It's hard to trust the world out there.
So let's talk to the two girls over here.
Yeah. Cause y'all have been in your relationships yeah. for a while. I don't even know how long. I just know the boys have been around.
I started dating Jordan, and Jordan and Alistair is Jesse's boyfriend. Jordan's my boyfriend. Jordan and Alistair were living together, and I met Jordan at the climbing gym on Cinco de Mayo when I was 19. And I'm 24
love Coley.
Now.
I just love her so much.
And story time. Mom, maybe you want to not listen to this
No,
part?
Don't do it.
Okay.
Oh don't my tell God. You? La, la,
no,
la.
Just go ahead.
Okay. So we met at the climbing gym that day, and I feel like maybe this is a millennial thing, but I think nowadays it's kind of like, fuck first date later.
Just say it. Just say it. Anissa is, look at her. Look at her face. I would listen. Be true to who you are. I totally think that. Be true to who you are. So if
I mean,
that's
I think
it,
that's just kind it's of raw, the era maybe. We're in. Don't worry, I'm smart and know what I'm supposed to do. The internet's there.
She's like, oh my God, my daughter.
Listen, I was kind of like that back in the day.
Yeah.
Like I told
a little
that
wild,
story.
A little reckless. But
well, I just was like, okay, all my friends are having sex. Let's just do it.
Okay, so on to the dating part.
So
go ahead, Coley.
You know, meet him at the gym, and I'm like, oh, you want to climb sometime? And that's like code for, we all know what it's code for. We hang out that night. And, you know, since that day, we've been dating, and we'll have been dating 5 years come this Cinco de Mayo. But Alistair was Jordan's roommate, and Alistair was cramping my style. And I was trying to date Jordan hard. Like, I was like, I'm in this. It's happening. He's got the body of a man and the spirit of a woman. This is my ideal man.
Actually, he does. He really
that
does.
Is the best ever.
He has.
Dang.
Everyone thinks I'm a bully. I'll be like, I'll be poking fun at my boyfriend, and Jesse's like, "Stop it, Nicole. Jordan's sensitive."
Be a man. Rub some dirt in it.
Right. That's basically what I say, and he's like, sensitive. Everyone cries. They're like, Nicole, you're awful. And I'm like, no, I'm not.
We're going to be best friends.
I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. But so Alistair was like, how do I get myself in a situation where I can have Jordan all to myself? And I sacrifice my sister to Alistair so I can take the hell out of Jordan. And but the funny thing is, I knew immediately that they were going to work well together because Alistair and I immediately started arguing, and I was like, oh, I know who's good for him. Someone who could rival this, who is just as, like, stubborn but intellectual and really creative and just, like, has, they know what they want. And I was like, Jesse and Alistair, it's going to happen. And, you know, basically we're both, you know, almost 5 years down the line with our boyfriends. And it's just interesting how, like, Jesse and I have built this friendship together. Mm-hmm. And now these relationships are, like, being built together at the same time, too. So I feel like it's something that's made us even stronger as a result. But, I mean, I think a lot of, like, millennial dating right now is kind of, like, it's kind of just, like, go for it a lot of the times. And obviously, if you're someone who doesn't have, like, a whole lot of responsibility, because I wouldn't say I have a whole lot of responsibility except for two cats and a lease that's too expensive in Atlanta. But I mean, I feel like I was, you know, kind of just able to go for it. And I feel like a lot of, and there are some risks involved with that. I think sometimes millennials will, you know, they'll kind of rush into things. But I think it's also like not taking things too seriously. It's like, let's have fun first. We'll worry about what we are later, because there's no point in trying to label something. Just like, it will work itself out, most likely. Mm. But I'm willing to bet on it. So let's go.
Yeah. So what about Jesse? What's your side of the story, your perspective?
So to backtrack a little bit, the other funny part about our initial relationship was that I was dating somebody when Nicole and Jordan started dating. So I was in a relationship with somebody else who'd been dating for like a year or something. And Nicole was always like, so you should really go out with Alistair. And I was like, but I have a boyfriend. She's like, yeah, but you know, it's okay. Just like go out with them. I'm like, that's not how that works. Like you don't have a boyfriend and then just like go out with somebody else. Like that's called cheating. That's not okay. But then it ended up happening. You know, I ended up not together. I broke up with my boyfriend, and then, you know, I started dating Alistair, and we've been dating for like 4 years, 4.5 years.
And they cohabitate, y'all, just so we know.
Yeah.
Both of the boys don't live together anymore. Both my girls live with their boyfriends.
So. Yeah. But I think in terms of relationships or romantic relationships and social media, the biggest impact it has on me right now is, you know, I'm 27, and a lot of my friends are at the point where they're starting to get engaged or they're getting married. Some of them are even starting to have kids. And, you know, I keep seeing it over and over, all these people getting engaged, and people talk about it all the fucking time. And I'm like, am I doing something wrong? Like, marriage kind of, Susan knows this. We laugh about this all the time, about how marriage kind of freaks me out. It scares me. It stresses me out whenever we talk about other people getting engaged. And so I'm like, is there something wrong with why I like don't want this? Is there something wrong with my relationship because I don't want it? Or like, I'm, you know, hesitant about it, but I think it's just cause it's always in my fucking face right now. And so I think like I'm having a slight negative impact because of that. But, you know, I don't have any experience dating in this social media world, but, you know, I'm also just trying to tell myself that everybody's different. Everybody has a different path and I don't need to worry about what everybody else is doing. And mm-hmm. I just need to mm-hmm. stick to my jam and stick with what feels good and be cool with that.
I love that.
So let's how long have to, you guys,
so, go ahead.
I was going to say, how long have you guys been with your boyfriends?
So me and Alistair have been together for like four and a half years.
Did you say five? I think five years.
Five Nicole for Coley.
5 years come Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah, there you go.
I love it.
Granted, I was 19 on that Cinco de Mayo, so I was not drinking.
just clarifying that, Mom. Just
every FYI. Cinco de Mayo past 21.
Yeah, because I'm super concerned about the having a drink at 19 when we fuck then whatever it is she said.
Later! I thought it was interesting, or when you brought up the point about, oh, we live in the in a culture now where it's like, you know, fuck first.
Oh, God.
Okay, yes.
I mean, just be honest.
But you know what? I sometimes think... even to your point, I mean, I'm a black woman, so I feel like dating for me is very different in terms of like dating black men. Mm-hmm. I feel like black men sometimes are hesitant or they have not a phobia, but hesitant of like commitment. So to hear that you guys have been in relationships with your
Brian
boyfriends for like 5 years and starting so young, it's not that they never do. I think it comes a little bit later in life. But for me, I mean, most of my friends, I can't sit here and say, yeah, most of my friends now are getting engaged and getting married. One of them is getting engaged and getting married. But it's not. So sometimes it's not that I don't approach dating like, oh, you know, just kind of be spontaneous with it. But I can't bet on that you are going to, you know, want to be here later. I like for me, I just can't take that chance. So I navigate through it a little bit differently.
Because otherwise you would end up like, oh, there he goes.
Yeah. Well, another one bites the dust.
Bye. With a little piece of my treasure. Oh, yeah. There goes another. Yeah.
I think a lot of them have gotten comfortable with, I don't have to like think about marriage. I don't have mm-hmm. to commit to anything because that's changed. Like not everyone gets married or, you know, they feel like they're in control of like, there's plenty of women out here. Like if you need marriage, then that was fun meeting you and I'll just find someone else who's not looking for that. And that's hard too, because before everyone's, you know, mindset was that's the expectation. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are trying to just have their cake and eat it too.
And not only the expectation, it was actually a desire. It's not as if I was like, oh, everybody accepts me to get married. I mean, that was just, oh yes, absolutely. How old were you when you got married, Susan?
Well, I only got married last year.
Oh, okay.
So it's been a year, some months. Yes. But we've been together for 10 years.
Ooh. Okay.
So it's a different story.
Dynamic.
I was, you know, in the Hispanic culture, you're supposed to live the house when you're getting married.
Right.
I broke the rules and I moved out of my parents' house at the age of 18, almost 19. And so that was already like, what are you doing? And then I lived on my own a few years, met Hector. And by the time I met him, I had dated some, but mainly assholes. And I had decided for the first time in my life that I was just going to enjoy life. That I was not going to pursue men in my life just because everybody had a boyfriend and mm-hmm. that's what you were expected to do. So for the first time when I met him, he's funny. Oh my God, we're going to have fun. This is it. I'm not even worried if it's going to work out or if it's going to, it's, we're having fun.
Right.
And it worked out. Also mainly because I was in that train of thought that mm-hmm. I was just having fun. I was being myself for the first time with someone. I wasn't tiptoeing about, oh, I'm not going to say that. Because then I realized the guys I dated before him didn't really know me. Mm-hmm. I was giving them like just peekaboos of me that they could like just contain or something. So we moved in together after 3 years of dating, 2.5 years. So it's very soon. Bought a house together. And then we lived together for 7-8 years. I had already put us... never really had like big conversations about mm-hmm. marriage. I'd already put us in the never marriage but always happy.
Right.
Like in my folder, it was just like, that's it. Like, right. I was never the one dreaming about a wedding and planning and waiting for him to pop the question. Like, that was just never. We were happy. We were good. It was not something on my mind. And so when he proposed, it was a complete surprise.
That's awesome.
So it was amazing. Like, I did not see it coming, and I thought that I always would see it coming. I'm like, if he ever thinks of doing it, I know I'm gonna figure it out. I had no idea when he did it, New Year's Eve. And so we were engaged for 2.5 years after that. And I think part of it, well, I just graduated college and trying to find a job, and I moved to Florida for a little bit. So I was navigating life still on my own kind of thing, but living with him, like having a relationship. But I think part of me was afraid that things mm-hmm. were going to change mm-hmm. because I had heard so much, marriage changes things. Don't get married. Marriage right. changes things. Oh, it's only good because you're not married.
Right.
And I was so afraid. I was like, oh my God, we've worked together so well. We're happy. And what if now that we get married, everything just
changes.
Yeah. And is he going to be different now? Is he going to treat me different because now I'm his wife? Now I'm not just Susan, you know?
Yeah.
And so then am I supposed to act different? Am I supposed to do other things that I don't do now because I'm a wife now? And I
Isn't
think
that crazy.
And it wasn't so like it wasn't even that I was sitting there thinking all right. these things, but part of I think the stalling of the engagement was just like, oh, I don't know, I'm scared, you know? Mm-hmm. And we were going through a lot of changes too, then we finally remodeled the house and got married, and honestly, year and some change, things have not changed.
Right.
Because I realized that it's not marriage that changes things. It's the perspective of the mm-hmm. persons, of the people in the marriage. It's that you're expecting things. You can't just now, because you're married, expect things of your partner or vice versa. It's just you continue to just build together and be together and be happy together. And when you're not, communicate, and you build on that. But and so that's what I've found out now, that it's like we haven't changed because we're still us. Mm-hmm. And as long as that exists, it's going to work out. So the whole marriage changes things. It doesn't. If anything, it's added an extra layer. You're proud that we've come all this right. way together, and we're continuing to do things and build I things and evolve.
Isn't it awesome?
I want to marry Susan.
They're so good too.
There you go.
Her and Hector are amazing. Like, they have so much fun, and they're so silly, and
I love that.
They're amazing.
So see, it worked out.
Yeah.
I'm going to shift gears just a little bit because I want to ask this question before we start running out of time. So our podcast is about being authentic and real and be who you are. So, I'm going to ask each one of you, so you can think about this, you know, the first person, and maybe Anissa can speak to it while you all are thinking, but I want to know right now in this present moment, what struggles you're going through at your age, in your life, with your husband or your boyfriend, or you're single, or your children, with your job and with your work. It can be anything, but what is
with
it
your
that
goals,
you're
struggling with, your dreams?
Yeah, with everything. With what is it that you're struggling with that you just, that weighs heavy on you right now? If there's anything, and there may not be anything, but something that you spend a lot of time thinking about, pondering about, you know, I know Nissa and we talk about this a lot. Obviously the podcast is this, you know, we went through this not only physical change. I mean, we're still going through this physical change, menopause and stuff like that, but you know, your perspectives changed a little bit. I mean, I swear to God, when I turned 50, I was like, what the fuck happened to me? Like, seriously. Like, I feel like the next day, it was like, okay, I'm just going to go crawl in a hole. Everything is falling apart. So what things right now in this moment, and you all could be different, you know? I mean, Jesse mm-hmm. and Coley could be totally different. So I'm going to start with Herlene, because she's staring right at me. Go ahead, Mama.
What's your struggle?
Oh my gosh, it's an everyday
thing. Be you,
thing.
Say it right now. Put it out in the air. In
okay,
the
here it is. No, I just, I'm still very young. I'm 27 years mm-hmm. old, but I'm so different than when I was like in my early 20s. And I feel like right now is like that shift of my skin is different, my hair is different, my body's different. And it's just like,
I don't know what the heck is going on. How you're talking about, you woke up one day and you're like, what the hell? You know? But then feeling guilty for that because I'm still very young. So feeling like, wow, like you're really not appreciating or valuing your youth because it's still in front of you, but you feel like you're 60 years old, right? You know? Mm-hmm. And then just like self-esteem issues. It's a constant struggle. Just feeling like I'm not enough. Mm-hmm. Some of the conversations that I have with, you know, some of my close friends is I just right now feel so mentally weak and I cannot, like, the simplest things that in the past probably I would have let roll off of my back, I am literally in tears over,
right?
You know, and it's just like everything is a struggle. I'm not skinny enough, my skin isn't clear enough, my hair isn't curly enough, my nails aren't long enough, my toes are jacked up right now, I need to get them done. I gotta shave my legs, I can't keep up with anything, you know, to just keep myself up as a woman or just like feel good about myself constantly. So just struggles of being enough right now. Just I'm not the same, but you don't want to be the same as who you were, the other woman you were, because you learn new things and you're a different person, but kind of grieving who you used to be, and it's hard to accept who you are now, and seeing the light in that.
And before we move on to the next person, I will say this, you know, I mean, Anissa and I are at this point now, at least I can speak for myself, and I have my moments where I can literally say, you have to be who you are. But, and we talk a lot about it. Be who you are, be authentic, give of yourself. But sometimes that is so fucking hard to do. Like, I'm not even kidding. You know, like sometimes I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I fucking hate life right now.
Yes.
Like, seriously.
That's how it feels.
You know,
it
just, and then I, oh my gosh, you know, we talk about being a fraud. You know, it's like we get up on stage and we're like, oh, be, you all be who you are. You're beautiful. And, you know, I'm like, you're a fucking maniac. Like, seriously. So it's not always, you know, I don't know that you'll ever find that spot, but it'll become more comfortable. You know, you get to that point where you're like, I gotta make peace with this. I just gotta, this, you know, it's not the end of the world, right?
I think it's okay to be in those emotions as long as you don't let them overtake you sometimes.
Right.
Because I hate when people say like, oh, well, like, don't, like, you're not that. It's like, well, let me just, like, feel this for, like, a minute. Don't shut me down when I'm trying to process it. And I think it's important. People need to not shut that shit down so quickly. So like, let people, because what you're doing is you're invalidating what they're thinking about themselves. Like, let them think it. Let them process it. And if they're still struggling after that, that's when you start offering different ways to turn that around.
If they want it.
If they want it.
If they want it. But man, I can't stand it when I'm like, oh, I feel like shit today. And someone's like, oh, don't think that. That's stupid.
Right.
I'm like,
put on your happy face. Erica, so Coley, what about you? Oh, we haven't heard from Erica in a long time.
Okay, Erica then.
What you struggle with?
So this is kind of, this might be a bit heavy, but I think it's interesting that they're actually, you know, Taylor Swift just always comes out with songs that are so weirdly relevant. And it's just like she'll like, you know, release songs. And I've like tried to like avoid listening to her new album because I'm like, no, her old stuff is good. I'm just fine with her old stuff. Her Reputation album was perfect. I'm still feeling those feels. And then she comes out with a song called The Man. And there's a one-liner in there that is exactly what I'm struggling with. It's, when everyone believes you, what is that like? So I'm struggling with when I'm saying something and I'm, it's not an opinion, I'm not suggesting it, I'm not asking you, I'm telling you, and like people brush it off, ignore you, don't listen to you, don't believe you, or don't give you some sort of a like, and it's not validation. It's they don't put value into the words that you're saying. And specifically being a woman in engineering and the only woman in one of my companies, it's like nobody gives a shit what I have to say.
Yeah.
And they'll shit on me. They'll brush me aside. I basically don't even exist. And like I'm always the scapegoat. And I'm like, fuck you. Because it's like, well, what's the point if – you know, Joe Schmo over there can be like, oh my gosh, I'm just like, I'm just so stressed. And it's like, okay, well, you don't see like the 2 a.m. nights that like I'm still up and doing your shit that you didn't do because you got to go have a date night. But like, and so it's like, no matter what it is that you do, and I'm not the kind of person who's like, oh my gosh, look, I'm up until 2 o'clock in the morning working. I'm just, you know, team get shit done. That's like, if you ask what my job title is, it's just team get shit done. And so like, it's one of those things where then if one person has feels or, you know, somebody else, you know, jumps on somebody else's ass or like they're getting in trouble or about to get in trouble, it's like, you know, the somehow, some way out of like some sort of convoluted thing, it's like, well, we'll just blame Erica. And I'm like, that's funny if it's like in a joking way, but like, I don't know. I think being a woman in any kind of professional field, you kind of struggle with having your voice heard in like a manner that it deserves. Like you can, you have
with the same weight as the men around you.
Because like I have just as much right to say, no, that's not what we're doing as the next person. And I have just as much right to say like something that you did is wrong or whatever it is. But for some reason, if you take exact situations and it's a guy who sends a strongly worded email, that's them being firm.
Yeah.
But if I send the exact same email, it's like,
you're a bitch.
No, not like it's, you're a bitch. How dare you speak to a client like that? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like everything. And I'm like,
okay. So how about we do one more? No, it's
no, it's perfect. No, it's whatever you want it to be.
Let's do one more struggle and then let's do three. What are you hopeful for?
Okay.
Because I'm super interested to know that perspective as well. So who has a struggle that they really can speak to? Anybody? Bueller?
So Emily, go ahead.
I think this past like year or two, it's been navigating like what makes me happy. Getting new time where it's like just me. Everyone's like, oh, go do something you like. And I've realized I don't know what makes me happy. Like I'm somebody who thrives off of making other people happy, making my kids happy, making, you know, my friends happy, thinking of others. Like that brings me joy when I see that something I've done is like, they can tell that I put effort into it, but I don't know what I like to do because I focus on everyone else. And I think it's a lot harder than I thought it was. But trying to find that and try to kind of find myself, because like you said, like 10 years ago, I was a completely different human being and whatever made that girl happy is not the same person. And that's my struggle right now is trying to figure out what makes me happy and what I need to make sure I'm incorporating in my day to day to take care of myself.
And, you know, happy is such a general word. You know, where I always tell everybody, well, you do what makes you happy. Well, I mean, what does happy really mean? You know, I mean, it's just a whole big thing. I mean, what gives you peace? What gives you pleasure? What gives you whatever? So I had somebody the other day say, I'm never fucking happy. Like, I'm never happy. I'm never going to be happy. I can have moments of peace and I have pleasure and I, you know, but that whole happy word is, I mean, what the fuck does that mean? And it's true. Right. Like, you sit here and you think about it. I mean, it's just, it's various stages and various levels of, and it's difficult. I mean, even sometimes I have difficulty trying to figure out what, you know, what gives me like, I guess peace is a better word or and I see, don't know.
And I would say that for me, the transition for me with happy is that none of it comes from external. So I either am happy or I experience sadness or I experience anger or I experience any number of emotions, but nothing external from me. They can bring me happiness, but it does not make me happy.
Right.
My happy is my job. It's an inside job.
Yeah. So we want to go to the,
who's hopeful or whatever. Well, I don't know. Is it hopeful?
Let's do our last three girls.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Susan,
I'm hopeful for, I think I'm going to come back a little to the community where we kind of started. I think what drives us millennials a lot to community is that with energy, with emphasis on the right things, we can make a change. Mm-hmm. We can not only evolve as in our personal growth, but with others and seeing growth in other people. And I think that that's where we're kind of like hoping for. Apparently, we all struggle with social media, but we're still all on it. And we all know what's good and bad about it. You know, we all have dreams and hopes and everything. And so sometimes we cling on to those things that do make us happy, like getting healthier or maybe sleeping in tonight and just different things. So I think it's for us to become less together in the sense of technology, but in person, like even just this, like the energy of being raw, of talking about what comes to mind and how you feel. And, you know, none of us have pulled out a phone and taken a selfie. And it's just that is the authenticity. And that's why I love what you guys do, because we need more of that, to be raw, to be vulnerable, to be human, to become better humans. So
that.
Thank you.
Oh, Anissa, I know. Mama's crying.
She's talking my jam.
So let's end with the sisters.
What are you hopeful for?
You go. I'm not ready.
So Jordan and I were trying to move to Chattanooga in May. Fall works out to be closer to climbing. And I guess I'm kind of just excited to start out with a new slate, because I feel like I've gotten, like, in Atlanta since, like, you know, you graduate college, man. And then they're like, oh, you need 20 internships to get a real job after this. And I'm like, oh, this is really fun. I thought I did 4 years of school and paid for that shit so I could have a job afterwards. And they're like, no, an English major isn't a degree. And I'm like, oh, okay, got it. We're cool.
Thank you.
So yeah, but loan debt when you get out of school and a 4.06 and worked her ass off to pay for everything. Everybody should hire that girl, because that girl knows how to do it.
Heck yeah. Thank you. But I'm excited to kind of have a fresh start. I feel like I love, like, new adventures, and I love doing new things. And I'm not really a person who enjoys routine. I don't enjoy it at all, unless it's, like, me getting to bed to, like, cuddle with my cats. Like, that's my routine. but, like, I'm really excited to, like, start something new, because I'm, like, I've been in the same place for 24 years in Georgia. Like, I need to do something new. Mm-hmm. I need to, like, put myself in a situation where, yeah, I might be vulnerable and I might hate it, but at least it'll be something new. And, you know, it'll present just new opportunities and new obstacles. And I think I'll grow more as a person as a result. And I think, you know, now's the time for me to be doing that, is, like, just discovering what I can handle and what I can endure.
I love that. So, Miss Jessie.
So Susan's hopeful was, like, so inspiring and so, like, considerate of so many other people, whereas I'm feeling mine's maybe a little bit more about me. I feel hopeful about a number of things, actually. I feel hopeful about, not that I don't like what I do right now, but finding something that my heart's more in for a career. Something that I find really inspiring and really motivating, and kind of like Nicole too, maybe being in a new space or just having a new adventure. I feel like I'm kind of at this point where I just need something new, something big for myself. So I feel very hopeful about all of that potential. But I also feel really hopeful about, I feel like I keep getting these little nuggets of knowledge recently, and whether it be from listening to this podcast and learning about how important it is to be vulnerable and how important it is to be authentic. Like, that shit is so exciting to me to learn about. It's like this little, like, burst of light, you know, it just makes you feel, it just gives you this lightness feeling, like this, there's so much potential in that.
You're your mother's child.
Yes. Or even, you know, all the meditation that I've been doing, I feel really, really hopeful about the potential that can come from that and what I can potentially be and the relationships I can have because of it. So there's little things that I'm working on or that I hear about that make me feel really good and excited about life. So yeah,
that's awesome.
Lots of good stuff.
How do you feel, Mama? This was so good. This was like, this actually turned out differently than I thought it would. I thought I was going to get a bunch of giggly millennial, like, you know.
Right. Like how we were when we had the women our age on.
Yeah. Which was way fucking crazier than this. That was like.
But I think one of the things that is such an interesting takeaway from being with you all is you're such deep thinkers.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And you're deep feelers. And your perspectives are, they're internal and external at the same time. And that's just not how I was then. And it's so beautiful to see, because I see evolution of our consciousness in this room.
Mm-hmm.
I can actually see it, because when I was your age, none of that was even a blip on my screen. I was too busy being, you know, completely fucked up or whatever. I had like a bunch of kids and I was struggling and there was no time to think about. But I even think with kids, your thought processes, the things that you're thinking about, is very deep. Mm-hmm. You ladies give me hope.
Yeah.
What people are saying out there about the millennial culture and the millennial people is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The stock answer about you all is bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You are an amazing, amazing, amazing generation. And I am so honored that maybe some of what we've left behind you find valuable enough to follow. I mean, a matter of fact, another thing that's a huge takeaway for me is maybe the podcast isn't for 50-year-olds, because we have a lot of millennials that get a lot out of it. And I'm shocked by that. Because we think, oh, we're old broads. We come on here and talk about our stuff. I mean, and we would want to listen to this shit.
Y'all.
And then when I have my daughters be the biggest fans or tell their friends about it. And to me, maybe the vulnerability and the authenticity will bridge the gap between our generations. Mm-hmm. And we can just be women.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because and it's true. So, we initially were like, let's take some millennials, and we tried to get a broad perspective. I didn't want to bring just the millennials from the gym. I love that we have the sisters on here. I specifically asked for Herlene and Emily. I thought of you two in mind. It's amazing how connected I feel. Not that I didn't feel like I was going to be disconnected. I mean, we've talked about it. We're like, oh my gosh, let's see what they think about this and that and the other. It was so different. I felt a deep connection with all of you, like everything that you all said today. And it's not like, you know, in general, women don't, I don't know why I thought there was going to be a huge gap between us.
Yep.
And there wasn't. Not.
It's because there's nothing new under the sun, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like what we're experiencing, you experienced it, but it's different. Well, you didn't have a name for it at the time. And we're, you know, even when you say community, you know, you had community, but you weren't looking to title that or to give it a name.
And it's not, and it's also not, I don't know why I thought, and this is not a negative to anybody, but I don't know why I thought how you would express yourselves would be a lot different than you all express yourselves at moments. It.
What do you mean by that?
I don't know. I didn't think you all were like giggly, you know, we vacuous, would have been. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, we totally would have been. I don't know what I thought. I know it's so great. I loved it. I loved every second of it.
Too.
Brian, did you love it?
Right.
All right. So thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you.
You all. We are so humbled that you came on. Listen, we've got to do this again.
Lives. Thank you. Thank,
thank
you.
You.
Yes.
Thank you.
We got to do this again.
It's fun.
Raw, baby. Hear. I'm going to read now, yo.
Go.
You can hear the Anissa and Ellen Raw just about everywhere. To listen on demand, you can visit one of our media locations, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, Pandora, iHeartRadio, geez, Brian, Spotify, and atlpodcastnetwork.com. You can also hear scheduled broadcasts from the network streaming 24/7 on our website as well. Google ATL Podcast Network, or hell yeah, you can Google us and listen to Ellen Raw to find our show.
Thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yay. Yeah. Yeah.